Okay, next Sunday morning, Mike Sherman will be preaching in my absence, and I appreciate Mike's willingness to serve in that role. This morning, I invite your attention to Mark chapter 5. Please open your Bibles there. We're going to be reading the text, a long one, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, in just a few moments. How do you recognize faith? It's hard to get a handle on that, isn't it? How do you know someone has faith? You can't put them on scales and weigh it. You have an ounce of faith, you have a pound of faith, you have a ton of faith. You can't put a ruler beside and measure it. You have an inch of faith, you have a foot of faith, you get a mile of faith. How do you measure faith? You can't touch it, taste it, smell it, see it. Faith is empirically unverifiable except through the actions shown. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to see a negative example of faith. We're going to see the faith of the demoniac, the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. Yet it was not his faith, it was the faith of demons inside him. But it was an incomplete faith. And we're going to explore that incomplete faith compared to the complete faith in Jesus Christ. James chapter 2 and verse 18 states, I will show you my faith by what I do. The only way we can measure faith really is by actions, isn't it? We live what we really believe. So if you want to evaluate faith, you have to look for deeds. You have to see actions. You have to see attitudes. And even then, we don't measure it perfectly, do we? But today, as we look at this story in Mark chapter 5, I want you to remember in the back of your mind the scripture reading that Marty gave us at the beginning. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, where James says, you believe there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The demon-possessed man believed in the one God. The demons believed in that one God. But yet they were not saved. A saving faith is more than what we see in the demon-possessed man. Let's read together Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him, and night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. For Jesus had been saying to him, come out of you, this evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we're many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillsides nearby, and the demons begged Jesus, send us into the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home and show to your family how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Demons are Satan's assistants. They serve their king, who is Satan. They're powerful spiritual beings. And this man, possessed by a legion of demons, had superhuman strength, bizarre behavior. He couldn't be bound, even with chains. He would break them off. Superhuman strength. He would cry out with a loud voice in his misery. Some people read this and say, oh, that's just mental illness. They misdiagnosed it in the first century. But no, this is not mental illness. Number one, the Bible says he was possessed by demons. Number two, mentally ill people do not necessarily have that superhuman strength this demon-possessed man did. The main point of this episode is the power of Jesus is stronger than any power of Satan, even a legion of demons. And Jesus cast out those demons. Suddenly the man was dressed in his right mind. And suddenly this man who had seemed so bizarre, so out of it, suddenly was normal again. And people took note of that. But where did the demons go? The demons went into a herd of pigs. What happened to the pigs? The pigs rushed down the hill into the water and were drowned. 2,000 of them. Assuming at least 2,000 demons were in that man if one inhabited each one of those pigs. Wow. No wonder it was called Legion. The main point of this episode is the strength of Jesus. But this episode also helps us see what the power of faith is and what faith is and what faith is not. This morning I'd like to share with you the faith of these demons and how it contrasts with biblical faith and your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go through this list. The demons recognize Jesus as God's Son, which tells me that intellectual belief alone in Jesus is not sufficient. It's necessary, but it's not alone sufficient. The demon-possessed man, when Jesus was seen from a distance, ran and fell at his knees in front of him. The demons knew deity when they saw it. And what said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" The demons possessing this man had no trouble identifying who Jesus was. Some of the people there in the towns and the villages around understood that Jesus was the divine Son of God. Many did not yet come to that conclusion. But this demon-possessed man knew immediately who this man was. "You are Jesus, the Son of the Most High God," the demons called out. Doesn't that give you goosebumps? This demon-possessed man knew exactly who Jesus was and fell at his feet and confessed his faith that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, moved by those demons within him. Don't you wish more people in our world would intuitively know who Jesus is? Would intuitively confess and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of God, the Most High." The day will come when they will confess and they will bow. Philippians tells us in Philippians 2:10, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That day is coming, brothers and sisters. But our world today, not everyone confesses Jesus Christ. Not everyone, even in their mind, acknowledges that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But this episode tells us the demon-possessed man, possessed by those demons, had faith in who Jesus was, but those demons are not saved, are they? Demons don't have saving faith, but they had intellectual faith in who Jesus was. And that tells me that faith is more than just an intellectual assent to a proposition that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the foundation of our faith, but it's not the whole house. When I was a kid, and we'd drive by a subdivision, and sometimes those subdivisions were still under construction, and there would be a foundation out there. The concrete foundation had been laid, and no house was built on it. And my dad would point that out and see the weeds growing around it and said, "The person who was building that house didn't have enough money to finish it." Now, he was trying to teach me a lesson. He's trying to say, "Now, little boy, you listen to this. You be sure and have the funds to finish something that you start. You need to finish what you begin." And intellectual faith in Jesus Christ is that foundation of our faith. And it's an important and imperative foundation. No one's going to heaven without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No accountable being anyway. So what we see here is the importance of that confession, but yet the demons even believe that. As James said, the demons believe, but they shudder. Their faith is incomplete. Intellectual faith is a wonderful foundation, but it's not the whole house. And you need that strong foundation, and you need to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But you know, the Bible also teaches the importance of repentance, a turn of heart toward God, the importance of being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, and many other commands of Scripture. Intellectual faith in Jesus as God's Son is a foundation for a great spiritual house, but it's not the whole house. You've got to add to it. This morning, if you've trusted in only belief to save you, you're right where the demons were. I don't want to be there, do you? I want to be beyond their faith of demons. Knowing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is a great place to start. It's a terrible place to stop. Don't stop with the foundation. A faith-only doctrine that you hear so often in Christendom today, that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved, that doctrine is not taught in Scripture. The importance of faith is taught in Scripture. But the idea of faith only is not taught in Scripture. Secondly, this morning, let's notice how the demons entreated Jesus. The demons were asking Jesus favors. We would say they're praying to Jesus. If Jesus is there in the person, in the flesh, so it's not an actual prayer, but it's what we do when we pray to God, right? God, would you bless this situation? Would you work in this situation? God, help me. Those are prayers. Those are beseeching God. Those are entreating God for help. And that's exactly what the demons are doing. Look at verse 7. The demons say, "Swear to God that you won't torture me." They're begging Jesus' help. Verse 10, "And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area." Verse 12, "And the demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs.'" By entreating Jesus, the demons clearly recognized Christ's authority. And that's appropriate and needed. After all, Jesus has all spiritual authority, doesn't he? And even the demons recognize that. But the demons do not have saving faith. Was it right to have intellectual belief in Jesus as the Son of God? Absolutely. Is it foundational? Absolutely. Is it going to take you home? No. It's the starting place, not the ending place. Secondly, is it right to have an entreaty, a prayer to God? Absolutely. But is a prayer to God what saves you? Not in Scripture. So many times today in the broader evangelical world, you'll hear people say, "You need to just pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved." Have you heard that? Of course you've heard it. It's on TV and radio all around us. Where's that in the Bible? It's not there, folks. It's not there. The demons entreated Jesus. They begged him. They prayed to him, in a sense, in the flesh. They're asking Jesus' favor. And when we pray, we ask God's favor. We ask God to bless us. We ask God to be involved in our lives. And the demons had that degree of faith. They begged Jesus. They pleaded with Jesus. They entreated Jesus. We would say they prayed to Jesus. Jesus is the one with all spiritual authority, and the demons recognized that, and they submitted to that authority. But prayer alone does not save. Prayer is important, amen? But it's important for those of us who are Christians, who have obeyed the gospel, who've done what Jesus wanted us to do in becoming Christians. Do not be satisfied with, quote, the sinner's prayer. It's not in Scripture. Repentance and baptism on the basis of faith is on Scripture. Point number 3. The demons did what Jesus willed them to do. Even doing what the Lord wills may fall short if our hearts have not been changed. And here's where the rubber meets the road with the demons. Look at verse 12 and 13. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. Jesus gave them permission to do what they asked to do. Is there any question but the demons recognized the spiritual authority of Jesus? Of course they did. They asked him permission to leave this man and go into the pigs. And when Jesus said, "Yes, you may," the demons obeyed what Jesus said, and they left the man and went into the pigs, didn't they? I want to be careful here because obedience is extremely important. But these demons going into the pigs, showed that they were responsive to the spiritual authority of Jesus, but demons are not saved. And it takes more than just, quote, doing what God commands. It takes an attitude and change of the heart. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Maybe an illustration will help a little bit. Have you ever had one of those little knockdown dragouts with your kids? And they've not been respecting you, not been obeying you. And finally they grudgingly go something like this, "Alright, I guess I'll do it after all." Now, how did you feel as a parent? Did you go, "Boy, that was really good. I'm really glad I won that one." No, you didn't win that one, did you? Because you didn't win their hearts. All you did was you accepted the change of their action, but their heart was still not where it needed to be. And that's the problem with these demons. They respected the spiritual authority of Jesus. They confessed that He was indeed the Son of the living God. They would even beg Him and pray to Him, if you will, entreat Him. They would ask favors of Him. But these demons did not change their heart toward Jesus. These demons didn't change on the inside. And it's just like your kiddo who is in rebellion, who grows off in a gruff and does what you want them to do, but boy, you know the heart's not right. It's been said 'tis the greatest treason to do the wrong thing. Excuse me, it's the greatest treason to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Got the wrong in the wrong place. Did you notice that? 'Tis the greatest treason to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Yes, the demons did leave the man as they asked to go into the pigs. But they were still at their heart evil spirits. Because once they're in the pigs, what do? They cause the pigs to run off down the hill and into the water and drown. The evil spirits have not stopped their injurious ways, their evil ways. Sometimes even just going through the motions of obeying the will of Jesus is not enough if there's no repentance and change of heart. Sometimes our faith is like the faith of those demons. On one hand, we choose to do God's will, but yet our heart's not really changed. And we're still possessed by that injurious spirit in rebellion to God. And we're just taking the easy way out, changing our actions, but not changing our hearts and attitudes. And that's why the Bible teaches so much about repentance. Because repentance is that spiritual U-turn that says, "Lord, I've been going the wrong way and I'm going to turn around and go back towards You now. I've been living my life apart from You and I see I need You. I've ignored Your directions in life and now, Lord, I know Your directions are for my good and I'm going to choose Your will because I realize that Your will is good for me." We must make that repentance, that spiritual U-turn. So this morning we have seen the truth of James 2:19. You believe there's one God? Yes, good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. The demons possessing this man shuddered at the power of Jesus Christ. They confessed that He was indeed the Son of God. Intellectual belief in God is not enough. Number two, they asked for God's favors, the Lord's favors. Jesus, would you do this or not do that? They were entreating to Him. In a sense, praying is not enough. And doing God's will, but without a changed heart, is not enough. And that's what the demons did. They did the Lord's will, but they didn't allow their hearts to be changed. So where did the demons go wrong? Here's my opinion. Weigh it for what you think it's worth. In my opinions, the demons failed to recognize the goodness of Jesus. And by failing to recognize the goodness of Jesus, they fail to worship Him. And in our lives, if we fail to recognize the goodness of the Lord, that His commands are not burdensome. He's trying to help us. He's trying to lead us toward Him. He's not out to get us in trouble. The words of Christ are there to save us, to bring us closer to truth, to bring us closer to heaven, to bring closer to the Lord Himself. My opinion, the demons failed to recognize the goodness in the heart of Jesus, and therefore they failed to worship Him. They recognized He was divine, but they didn't worship Him. They fell down, yes, but they didn't change their hearts. You see, the demons intellectually knew who Jesus was, Son of the Most High. They begged favors, clearly recognizing Jesus' spiritual authority. They even did Jesus' permissive will, going into the pigs. But their destructive ways did not change. The demons did not have enough faith. They didn't have a pure faith. So the question comes down to you and to me. Where's our faith? Is it just in an intellectual process? That's foundational, but that's not enough. Is it just in asking God to be at work in our life? Prayer is important, absolutely, but prayer alone doesn't save. And the sinner's prayer, often quoted in our community, is not in Scripture. Even doing God's will alone will not save if we don't do it with the right attitude, with a heart of repentance, recognizing the goodness of God, that He's trying to lead us to Him. The goodness of God leads you to repentance, Romans tells us. The demons didn't have the mature faith, the right faith. They didn't have a saving faith. You're different because you're not a demon. And you have hearts that can be moved to God. Hearts of repentance. Hearts that are able to sense the beauty and the purity in Jesus Christ. Hearts that are able to know that God is not out to get you. God is out to bless you. And you just need to surrender to Him. The demons wouldn't change. But you can. You can repent. You can turn. You can recognize the goodness of God and surrender yourself to Him and worship Him. The Lord is good. And He is worthy of our lives. C.S. Lewis said it this way. Either we say to the Lord, "Thy will be done." Or in the last day, God sadly turns with a tear in His eye to us and says, "Thy will be done." God wants you to be with Him in eternity. He wants you to live in His presence. He wants that mansion to be yours, the presence of the Lord forever. He wants you to be blessed in this life. He wants to lead you home. But your will, He respects above all others. God will never force you to Him, but He invites you. He invites you to bring your heart to Him with repentance, with a turning to Him on the basis of His goodness, to be buried with Him in baptism, and to begin a new life, a life of true faith, a life in Christ. This morning, if you're not in Christ, don't settle for the faith of a demon. Don't settle for just intellectual belief. Don't just settle for prayer, as important as prayer is. Don't settle for just going through the motions with God, of doing something, just going through the motions. Only genuine repentance and the change of heart will bring you into right relationship with Christ. And that's where the power of faith is when we see the goodness of God and turn to Him in repentance and submit to His will, because we know that God is out to bless us. And if you're outside of Christ this morning, you can become a Christian. Put your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins. You can be buried with the Lord in baptism. You can do it even this morning. Just walk the aisle. Come down. Let us know you're ready to be baptized into Christ. We'd love to see you make that choice today. Won't you make it this morning for Jesus? Let's stand and sing.